Dear friends, everything about Easter resonates and rings with proclamation, evangelization, and mission. Everything about our risen Lord is all about going out and telling the world about the love God has for us, the love that God has poured out for us on the cross, in the tomb, and the resurrection. Going out and telling the world that God is still with us, no matter what happens around us. Going out and proclaiming Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. One of the two words that kept on occurring at the end of the Gospels and in the Acts of the Apostles are, in the present tense, go and tell. Go and tell. Go, mission. Tell, evangelization. When Mary Magdalene encountered Jesus in the tomb, when Jesus had revealed himself to her, he said, go and tell my brothers that I have risen. Tell them to go and wait for me in Galilee. And she went and told in the past tense. We see also these two disciples who encountered Jesus in the breaking of the bread, and they got up immediately, wasting no time. They went and told the others, we have seen the Lord. So also, when Peter encountered Jesus, he went out, as we see in the first reading, and told the people who were listening to him. He broke into the worldview that they had that this was the end. They went and told. Go and tell. That is the commandment, dear friends. And it is for each and every one of us sitting here in the church. Because we are the witnesses that Jesus is talking about today. Not just his immediate disciples and apostles, but all who, just as we read last Sunday, blessed are those who have not seen, yet they believe. If anyone here has seen Jesus, thanks be to God. Please ask him to visit me. I've never had a vision of our Lord Jesus Christ. I know Jesus is with me, but I've never seen Jesus in the flesh. The Jesus I see every day is you. The Jesus I see every day are those who are witnessing to the life he lived, to the teaching that he has left for us. And we are witnesses, like I said, because we always pray. We pray for conversion of the whole world. We pray that anyone who has not come to know Christ will come to know Christ. But Paul asks us some very logical questions in his letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 10, from verse 14 to 15. I think he's asking that question of each and every one of us. When we want our brothers and sisters to come to believe, to come to pray, to come to the level we are as Christians, Paul is asking us, how can they call on Jesus when they have not come to believe in him? How can they believe when they have not heard about him? How can they hear when no one has preached to them? And how can anyone preach to them if no one is sent? Because he said, quoting Isaiah, blessed are the feet of those who bring the message of God to their brothers and sisters. Blessed are the feet of all of us who have come into this church, because we are the ones who are being sent to go and tell the world. And I say that because at baptism, I always go back to baptism, which is the fundamental of our Christian faith. At baptism, the priest anoints our ears and our lips and tells us the Lord God has made the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. May he soon open your ears to receive his word, which we receive every day from the Gospels, from the Bible, from our brothers and sisters of goodwill. May he open your mouth to always tell of this good news to the glory of God the Father. That is the prayer that was said upon each and every one of us at baptism. And therefore, at that time, we were made witnesses to the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there are songs that we sing here in the church that also somehow points back to what we expect of ourselves, whether we put our minds to it or not. And one of them is the beautiful one that we take from the prophecy of Isaiah. When Isaiah encountered God and was going back, oh, I'm a sinful man, I cannot preach the word and everything, God anointed him. And then God put the ball back on Isaiah's court. God anointed Isaiah, I have cleansed your lips. I have cleansed you so that your proclamation, your vision of myself will not kill you. But God did not immediately impose prophecy on Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, from verse 8 downwards, God uttered the words, "Who shall I send? Who will go for us?" And that is where we pick up this beautiful song. Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. And that is where we get those words. God is asking us, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And we respond, here I am. We are ready to be witnesses to the love of God. There are a few qualities, a lot of them, that witnesses need to have. Let me just mention two or three of them. The first of them is we have to actually believe in what we are witnessing, their friends. People know when we talk about things we don't believe in. It sounds very artificial. If I were to tell you, oh, friends, today is Tuesday. It's Tuesday, May the 30th. By my third or fourth sentence, you'll be wondering, does he need to see a doctor or something? There must be a problem with him. Because it will sound false. You will know immediately that I do not believe in what I am telling you. We, as witnesses, have to believe. We have to witness to what we have experienced and seen in others, and seen in the church, and seen in the community of believers. That is what will make people continue to question deeper about why you left your houses, brave souls you are, this morning when others are staying home, why you left and braved the ice, the snow, the wind to come into this church. I'm sure someone who is questioning will want to know why. And when we tell them, we will tell them from conviction, because we are not lying to them. We are here in this church witnessing to Christ. The second one is calling a spade a spade. Truthfulness about what we are witnessing to. When we witness to Christ, let us not paint it over, because then people will wonder, are we really telling them the truth or not about our Christian faith? Let us talk about weaknesses. Let us talk about strengths. Let us talk about mistakes. Let us also talk about successes. Never being afraid to mention it like it is. Yes, we succeeded in this. Yes, we were glorious in this. No, we were not too good here. I think we made some mistakes and we need to retrace our steps. Then witnessing becomes very truthful, whether in our families, in our places of work, to strangers whom we meet, in our little communities, and any group that we find ourselves in. Lastly, not the least, but just the last that I want to mention today, courage. Courage is not the absence of fear. Sometimes when God calls us to witness, there is fear. My words will be thrown back to my face. I will be insulted. I will be rejected. But let us remember that there is no humiliation we will undergo for the sake of witnessing that Jesus himself did not undergo on the cross for you and for me. He was beaten, stripped naked, crowned with thorns, had his hands, what else could they have done to this man God? Nothing remained to be done except to pierce his side with a lance, and blood and water flowed out in divine mercy. Let us have the courage to conquer the fear that will always come to us when Christ inspires us to witness to him, because it is real. We want to keep quiet to maintain our dignity. But Christ is calling us to overcome that fear with courage. Like I said, courage is not the absence of fear. Someone who has no fear in them at all probably needs some counseling. We have to have fear because situations that are not very palatable are very real around us. But let it not hold us back from witnessing. Because Jesus told us in the Gospel, Matthew chapter 10, he said, "If you witness for me before humanity, I will bear witness for you before my Father in heaven. If you deny me before humanity, I don't even want to go there. Peace be with you."